Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a wonderful service today and a wonderful message because we're going to be talking about how the dear Lord Jesus helps us as we serve Him and honor Him. But we want to open with Psalm 103 today. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And Heavenly Father, we do fear You with a loving fear. We reverence You, and we are so glad we can proclaim the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Just speak to every heart and every soul, and have Your way in every life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, we're going to have a sermon today on how the Lord helps us as we proclaim the gospel. And it's a wonderful move because it's the help of the Holy Spirit. But I want to share just two or three letters because I know you like to hear from them. And we really have some wonderful letters. Here's one from Rogers, Minnesota. And this is a man. He's writing and he says, I want you to know that on August 19th, I will be celebrating my 49th anniversary of my motorcycle accident that left me a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. The promises of God have helped me grasp that my accident was not an accident, but God's will for me in Christ Jesus, the grace of God in Hebrews, and that my present sufferings are light and momentary, and not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to me in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful story, a beautiful letter? I called this man 49 years ago. He had an accident, and he didn't know Jesus. And he became a paraplegic, and in his condition and his impediment, he found Jesus, and he saved his eternal soul. And it's the best thing ever happened to him when he had that accident and turn to Jesus. Just beautiful. Here's one from Garland, Texas. And this is a pastor, and his wife has died, and he's kind of drifted a little, and he's come back to Jesus. Garland, Texas. And he writes and he says, today at 8 to 8:30 p.m. on the car radio, on the Holy Spirit, allowed me to hear Harold Salem in my first time, just in time, and he capitalized just in time. He said, I've been grieving over my sin and failure and realizing I can't go back and redeem it and be a minister and father and a grandfather. It was the Holy Spirit orchestrated blessing to hear Pastor Salem because he says that he talks about how that I forgot the ability of God, that Jesus is enough. Past, present, and future. The pastor's message lifted me out of my self-condemnation and back into the eternal forever appreciation for my salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, thank you, Heavenly Father, and for all that does your glory, Father, and for your kingdom, for the lost souls that have been born again in the Christian Worship Hour ministry. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And here's a man, he slipped away from the Lord, and he's condemning himself, and he's despising himself because he thinks that now he's failed and God will never forgive him. And then he says, here comes this message from the Christian Worship Hour. And the message tells him, my dear brother, when you accepted Jesus, all of your sins of the past, all your sins in the future and the present, and all the sins you're going to commit as long as you live are all paid. Jesus says, I paid for them all, not just the past and present, but all the future. As a matter of fact, friends, All of us, they were all future. All of our sins were future when Jesus died for us. So that's the glorious gospel. Oh, there's always that second chance. He'll take you back. Just come to him and confess your sins. One other that I just wanted to point out to is Morris, Iowa. And he's talking about The Heart of a Shepherd. Now, The Heart of a Shepherd is a film we have put out. It's 52 minutes in length, and it's an evangelistic film, and it is for young people, children, and all ages. And he talks about the heart of a shepherd. He said, I gave both of my sons the heart of a shepherd for their birthdays in hoping they would share them with their families. My oldest son, who has three sons, all under the age of 10, said they all sat perfectly still through the whole DVD. We have watched this video many times. It's wonderful for all ages. God bless you and your ministry. And if you want this film, you'll just get your pencil and paper. At the close of the service, I'll give the address, and we'll send it to you on a free will offering basis. And it'll bless you and perhaps bring people to Christ, because that's what the whole film is about. But our message for today is a thrilling story, and it's about Jesus, and he talks to his disciples in the John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 16 to 22. And he tells them he's going to send a comforter or a helper, because he's going to go to the cross pretty soon. And after the cross, he's going to go on into the heavens, but he's going to send a comforter, and this comforter is going to be a helper. And that comforter is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will equip them to do battle for him and his kingdom, and he will do it through his people. So the Holy Spirit works through God's people to accomplish God's purpose. And so let's first of all notice this. The Holy Spirit will bring God's peace. And I want to really emphasize that, because when we have that peace, it helps our strength. We're stronger. When we have that peace, we have staying power. We don't just a flash in the dark in the night and then we're all done. God has been helping me now for 75 years. 75 years that I've been preaching the glorious gospel. And that's because I have the Holy Spirit to help me, and he gives me peace. And I'm rejoicing as I go. The Holy Spirit gives us joy, and he gives us security. And Jesus tells his disciples then, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. And Jesus will give his followers peace. It is his peace. It is the peace of God. It can be sure forever if we take it, and ours forever. And here's the amazing thing. This is an amazing thing. When Jesus looked at his disciples, and he knew what they were about to do, because Jesus in just a few hours is going to the cross, and he knew they were going to forsake him. So here Jesus looks at his disciples, and he knew that they were about to desert him. There he knows that Peter's going to swear that he doesn't even know him, and that others are going to run like scared rabbits. As Mark sadly comments, and they all forsook him and fled. Knowing all of this, Jesus still loved them and gave them his peace. Warren Wiersbe says it this way. Jesus tells his disciples, I have said this to you that in me ye may have peace. The point is this. If Jesus had not foretold the weakness of his disciples, afterwards, when they realized how they failed Jesus, they might well have been driven to utter and absolute despair. And so it is as if he said, I know what's going to happen. You must not think that your disloyalty came as a shock. Now, I knew it was coming, Jesus is saying. It doesn't make any difference to my love. It doesn't affect my love a bit, even though I know what you're going to do. And when you think of it about it afterwards, then he says, don't despair, don't despair. He gives them hope. He can see them down in the valley where they've forsaken him. And he says, don't despair. I'm giving you this peace, and I love you. You see this illustrated in the denial and the restoration of Peter. Jesus told Peter he would deny him, and Peter refused to believe it. He just wouldn't accept it. He said he would die before he even denied Jesus. And I believe Peter was as honest as the day is long. But Jesus' words became true. Peter swore he didn't know Jesus. Not once did he deny the Lord, but three times he did it with cursing. Can you imagine it? That terrible night when Peter heard the cock crow that night, it was like an alarm clock is in the morning. Peter came to his senses and he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter must have thought, now I am done. Jesus is through with me. I blew it just as big as I could. Jesus won't have anything to do with me. It's all over. Peter was sick at heart, and I know that he probably wished he could die. But in a few short days after the resurrection of Jesus, the message was given to the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. He said, I have a message for the disciples. I want you to tell all the disciples and Peter. He singled him out. Peter had forsaken Jesus, but Jesus hadn't forsaken him. And I've forsaken Jesus many times, but he has never forsaken me a single time. And he's always taken me back. That's the glorious grace of God and the love of God. And he's there if you just confess your sins. He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then this happened. Something happened. Clarence McCartney says, it is perhaps the most beautiful scene in the whole New Testament. And this is the picture. It's early morning. Jesus is standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The mists are beginning to lift from the surface of the sea, and light is starting to break over the eastern mountains. And soon Jesus and the disciples are seated around a fire on which is bread and fish. It was probably a silent meal. Nobody was saying anything. The Apostle John put it like this. He says, none of them durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord. They all must have thought, what is Jesus going to say? What is he going to say to Peter? Is he going to say, well, Peter, you really let me down, didn't you? Peter, I counted on you. You ran off just like the rest, except they didn't curse. Peter, what makes you any different than Judas, Peter? Peter, you really disappointed me. I had hoped for all of that. But do you know what? Jesus never mentions once. He doesn't mention anything of the past, not one single word. You know why he didn't? Because he and Peter already had dealt with the matter. They had gotten off by themselves and they had talked. St. Luke tells us that the risen Lord had appeared to Simon before this gathering. Luke 24, verse 34. And St. Paul tells us that Jesus met alone with Peter. Then they met with the 12 at the seaside. 1 Corinthians 15, 5. There's no question but that while they were alone, Peter confessed his sins to the Lord and made it right with God and made it right with Jesus. Warren Wiersbe comments on this point. He says, Peter and his Lord had already met privately and no doubt taken care of Peter's sins. Luke 24, 34. But since Peter had denied the Lord publicly, it was important there must be public restoration. Sin should be dealt with only to the extent that it is known. Private sin should be confessed in private. Public sins in public. Since Peter had denied his Lord three times, Jesus asked him three personal questions. He also encouraged him by giving a threefold commission that restored Peter to the ministry. And that is the way it was with Jesus and Peter. But listen, the key to the whole issue is this. The thing that stands out the most is, Peter, do you love me? See, he didn't say, Peter, have you sinned? That's all taken care of. He says, Peter, do you love me? That's the question Jesus is asking us today. That's what he's asking me. Harold, do you love me? He's asking you that. Do you love me? He's not asking me if I sinned. God knows I sinned. And I'm sorry for my sins, and they're all washed away. But he says, do you love me? And that's the question put to Peter. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He says, more than these. What did Jesus mean? Do you love me more than these? Well, did he mean, do you love me more than these other men? Not hardly, because they all loved Jesus more than they loved each other. Jesus is the center of their life. So Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Was he talking about the boat and the nets and the equipment? Not hardly, because there isn't anything in the story to indicate that Peter ever went back to fishing. I think Jesus meant, Peter, you said you loved me more than these other disciples. Is that true? Remember, it was Peter who said, this is what Peter said in Matthew 26:33, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. But when push came to shove, Peter ran away with the rest of the disciples. And is as if Jesus was saying, Peter, you declared you'd love me. You said you'd love me more than all of the rest of these. Is that still true? That was the crux of the matter, I think. Do you love me? Not have you sinned, but do you love me? And that's what he's talking to Peter now, and he's telling him that. Do you love me? Harold, do you love me? Do you love me by name? He's calling that out. Of course the answer was, and we all know, Peter loved his Lord more than anything else, more than anything in the world. No question about it. Do you see that? Just look at that. There is no reference to the past, but it is for now. It's for today. He says, do you love me now? Do you love me today? Not did you love me, did you sin yesterday, but do you love me today? Clarence McCartney writes, when Peter had been given an opportunity to confess his love three times, as he had thrice denied Jesus, then Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The past was blotted out. Its dark sin was forgiven. It was forgotten. And your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Peter is restored to his place as an apostle, and he's given another chance. And so Peter took it. He followed Jesus the rest of his life. And tradition has it that he went to the cross, and he died on the cross because he loved Jesus. It was forgiven. And it was forgotten. All of the sins of the past were over. And so don't dwell on them. And when you think of your life, you know, the devil, he does that all the time. He brings up past sins. And he does that because he knows we can't do anything about it. We can't do a thing about it. And so he brings that up and he makes us think about it. But Jesus tells us to forget the past. It's all gone. And he says, I don't even remember them. I couldn't even find, there's no record. It's all washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. That's what happened to Peter then. He sinned against the Lord Jesus, the one he loved the most on earth. That is the one that he denied and he deserted and he swore he didn't know him. To sin against the Lord brought Peter a broken heart and the sharpest pain and the deepest memory, so that he hated himself. He despised himself for what he did, for that horrendous sin. He thought of it constantly, like the psalmist said, my sin is ever before me. Again, McCartney writes and says, it is one thing to heal a man of despising others or hating others or wronging others, but to heal a man of self-despising, that's the most difficult and delicate cure of all. And thus it was that day in that early morning, the mists are beginning to rise. Peter faces Jesus, and his heart must have been broken. He must have felt pain like the stab in his heart. This beautiful Jesus that he loved so much. He swore he didn't know him, didn't have any part of him. But when Jesus talks with him, Peter is told by Jesus that all the past is forgiven. forgiven and forgotten. It's all been blotted out, never to be seen again by God or by man. You'll never see my past sins, and God won't see them, and I need to stop looking at them. It was a new day for Peter. It was a new chapter. It was a wonderful new beginning. Feed my sheep. It is if Jesus had, you know, if Jesus would have said that to Matthew or to John or to Philip, you wouldn't have thought much about it. But what's he going to say to Peter? It's a must have been a wonderful thing. They thought, oh, it's a wonderful thing. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing that this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he's forgiven me all of my sins. And it's an amazing thing to hear when Jesus said, feed my sheep. Oh, Peter must have said, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, how his heart must have rejoiced. Feed my sheep. In other words, Jesus is saying to Peter, go to work for me, Peter. It's as if Jesus is saying, all is well. You're on board again. Peter, you're getting another chance. I'm giving you another chance. Go to work. Feed my sheep. That's one reason that I love to preach. I have that wonderful message that I can give to the whole world, that this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, it's the message of a second chance. It's the message of forgiven forever. It's the message of beginning again. And so I want to ask this question, friend, have you forsaken Jesus? Maybe there was a time you were active in the church. Maybe there was a time you served and you got your feelings hurt or something went wrong and the devil got in between you and your brothers and you've drifted away and you've gone away just like Peter did. You can come back like Peter. You say, God would never forgive me. I've done so many terrible things. You just come back today, and this is the day of beginning again. Oh, the glorious message. I can tell you this, friends. You can go to the doctor, and he'll say, you've got cancer, and it's terminal, and I can't help you. And you can come to me, and you can say, I have terrible sins that are driving me crazy, and I can say, I can help you. Here's the gospel. Jesus can take away your sins. Nobody is beyond help and hope. Maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you never have ever accepted Jesus. Maybe you just heard about him, just cursed his name and things like that. And today Jesus is saying, I love you. When I went to the cross and I died on that cross, I could see your face. I could see you in your sin and I could see you in your hatred toward me. But I love you and I want you to come back. And you could come back and you say, how do I ever do that? How do I come to Jesus? I've never even heard known him. And you just simply say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Pray it with me now. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. That is, you're going to turn from your wicked ways, the evil ways. And then thank you, Jesus. That's what you need to pray. And if you pray that, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, your sins are washed away. You have been born again. And all of those sins of the past, as wicked as they were, St. Paul said, he looked at the past and he said, oh, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst sinner that ever lived. But God saved the chief of sinners, and he can save you. And so Paul says, what am I going to do with these past sins? They're horrible. And this is what he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about it. God's forgiven it and forgotten about it. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. He's looking ahead. And what is the mark? Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get busy for Jesus. And right now, all over the world, I know he's talking to people. I know it because he's not willing that any should perish. And he's talking to you and he's saying, receive me now. Ask me into your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will open the door and open the door. I will come in. Ask him into your heart and your life. And if you do that, then you can write to us and we'll send you literature. You'll send to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. It's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All you shortwave people, do you know what? We have shortwave people that we cover 90% of the world's population. That means we're preaching and we're encouraging the persecuted church, and we pray for the persecuted church every service we have. We're going to be praying a minute. We're going to be praying for Saudi Arabia today. But right now, you come to Jesus, and then you write to us, or you get us on our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you walk with Jesus, and I'll see you in heaven. If you'd like to have our little Bible study, have a Bible study we send every month. This month it's on the 23rd Psalm. And you can say, just ask for the Bible study. You say, how much does it cost? Nothing. We're just free of charge. But that brings me to say, we have to have your offerings and have to have your help. For 40 years now, we've not been underwritten by any organization or denomination or institution. We just are underwritten by God's people. And God's people, you need to pray and say, thou Christian Worship Hour, is this something that I should support you? Lord, it's your money. Should I put it there or somewhere else? He'll tell you what to do. And if he tells you what to do, then you do it. And you send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know what the men are saying. What if he spends it riotously? What if he doesn't use it right? We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. I audit our books, every penny of it. And it's safe and it's secure, so you write. So now we want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for all those people all over the world are praying right now, and they're being born again, and there's rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that comes back to you. Oh God, give them the joy of their salvation. I know you will. Lord, be with those who mourn the loss of a loved one. Be with those who are on sick beds and can't get around or do anything. Some of them are suffering. Lord, be with the young people as they face so many fierce temptations, and the precious children, the little children. Jesus, I came to you when I was 10 years old. Help them to come. And we'll give you thanks and praise. And dear Jesus, our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia, help them to know that we pray for them, and we're praying for them all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we thank you for this time together. And I have to say something before I go, so listen closely. God loves you. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you've done. God loves you. He's not willing that anyone perish, that is, go to hell. He wants him to go to heaven. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus. He says, I'm the way. Have to come through Jesus. Ask Jesus into your heart. And all of the workers on the Christian Worship Hour love you. And I love you. I gave my whole life, 98 years, I gave my whole life to Jesus, telling Jesus love. Jesus loves you. God loves you, and I want to see you in heaven.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.